God, we praise you and thank you that we have the freedom to come and worship just as we are. With all our shortcomings, Lord, the good things we've done, the not so good things we've done. Help us, Lord, to fix our eyes on you, to look to you, to be present to you just as you are present to us. Every day, every moment of every day. And Lord, we give you thanks for this morning, this moment, this time, and commit ourselves to you.
Your name, glorify.
teach us a new song this morning. And in saying that, I might terrify you a little bit when I tell you the words aren't going to be on the screen. I think we would all agree that, you know, there's lots of troubles in the world, but I'm reminded lately again and again of how important it is to be a contemplative, meditative people. Someone dares to suggest we should all be mystics. So this is a song, in essence, of four verses. And each verse contains the same words. Each line contains the same words. And it is a contemplative prayer, just as it is. So what I invite you to do is we're going to sing it through once for the first time, and then you can join in. But just sit, relax, rest your hands on top of your thighs, close your eyes, and focus on our God. The words are, Abba, I belong to you. That's it. I belong to you. that be the story of our lives, the story of our journey, the deep inner knowledge, Lord God, that we belong to you, Father, Son, and Spirit. And our lives have purpose and hope, love and forgiveness. And you've given us the wherewithal to live out everything that we are and everything that we have because of you and the reality that we belong to you. And so, Lord, we give you praise and thanks for that reality. Abba, Jesus, Spirit. Amen. Okay, welcome to you all this morning, and welcome to those of you who are watching online as well. Notices, if you've got a copy of the Grapevine, either electronically, faithfully emailed by Colleen, week in, week out, so you can have a read of that. One thing I'd like to do this morning is just acknowledge this young man sitting in the middle here, Sandy Wilson, who... Stand up, Sandy, please. Thank you. Sandy offered a couple of weeks ago, he spoke to me after one of the services and offered to sing, so I said, yes. So Sandy's going to sing with us, which is really nice. Thank you, Sandy. Just a couple of things that we want to mention. The children's happening event was on Thursday. Did you want to say something about that, Kristen? And I think Ken's got a few shots to show us up on the screen. Jump for Joy.
Thanks, David. Yeah, we had our event in the school holidays, Jump for Joy. We're a small group, but it was a really fun afternoon. And I just want to say a huge thank you to Rob and David and Jenny and Hope, who came along and helped out as well. We just really enjoyed celebrating the joy of the Lord, and the kids had a great time. So, it was our final event for the year, and it went really well. So thank you again for supporting us with your prayers and for getting the word out there. So it was, really, really good. Thank you.
And thank you to you, Kristen, for your work in bringing that together as well. And that photo that had the passage of Scripture, the joy of the Lord is my strength. You'll notice, if you're observant, it didn't have the H there, but the H was there, just that my photography is a little bit dodgy at times. Marge, come on down. Marge and I, with our spouses, had the privilege of heading out to Modbury Hospital on Tuesday evening to represent you guys at David Pryor's 60th birthday celebration. There we go, there's some shots up there of the event. That's David with the crowd gathered around him. And the next one, Ken. Yeah, Marge, you want to talk about that?
I do. I do. You will remember that we mentioned some time ago that the ladies from Creative Connection had made a quilt, a patchwork quilt for David. Well, we've been hanging on to it because it wasn't quite so easy to take it to the intensive care situation. So I was able to take that to him. We had told him, we had shown him a photo, but I was actually able to wrap it around him and acknowledge that this came with much love from his family at the Vines. And yeah, it was a really special time because for so long we've been seeing David flat on his back, really unable to communicate very much at all. But just the last two times we've seen him looking more like David. And as he was this was held in the gardens at Modbury Hospital, a very beautiful little section. And David was wheeled in a wheelchair by Isaac down to meet us all. And I have to say, I teared up It's not unusual for me. I teared up because last time we saw him, he was not in a good place. He was out of his bed, but his emotions were so overflowing, weren't they, David, that day? And as he came down on Tuesday night, I thought, God is good. This has come far more quickly than they anticipated. And it just was a delight. And he said that the highlight of the day was that he'd actually stood up for 40 seconds. But hey, that's a big step for him.
But that
is, and this is the family. And I would really be asking that we continue to pray very strongly for the family. I was really concerned for Ellie. I felt she looked very worn and tired, as you would expect. And I just think we need to, in our hearts, wrap our arms around Ellie and the family, because I think she's holding it all together at this point with Isaac. But it was a real privilege to be there, wasn't it, David?
It was.
And it was just, we just were both touched that we were invited to share in this very much family time. We kind of stood out a little, didn't we, the four of us, as being not part of that bigger group. But for us, that was a real, real joy. And what we've done after that, I said to David, or David and I said to each other, maybe we need to get a card for the folk here to send their own birthday greetings to David. And so I spoke to our lovely Varel, and Varel has come up with this. Now, Varel and I had a very brief chat about what would be on the front of the card. And my comment was, the sunflower speaks of a new day of sunshine and life and possibility. And that is our prayer for David and Ellie and the family. So it was a good night, wasn't it?
It was, yeah.
A long way. This man drove us all the way out there in all that traffic. But just want to pass on that he's doing so well. And the miracle is happening. Where it goes, we don't know. But every day is a miracle for David.
Yeah. And David's hope, he said on Thursday night to the crowd of people that were there, he hopes to be home by Christmas. He doesn't know, of course, what that's going to look like, whether it'll be in a wheelchair or on his own two feet.
A day or a week or a month.
He still has a way to travel, but he wants to celebrate Christmas at home. Yeah, thank you. And I'm guessing that Elaine's probably going to include David in intercessions, but I'd like to sort of preempt that, and maybe we can, with that photo up there staying there, let's just pray for David for a moment and his family. Actually, Ken, could you pop the one up? It's got just the family, David and Ellie and the kids and Benjamin. Please, yeah, that's the one. Yeah. Father, we do praise you and thank you for the Pryor family. Lord, this has been such a hard time for all of them and particularly for David. But we would pray, Lord, that you would continue to bring healing and wholeness to him and enabling his body to get back to what it was. Strengthen them, Lord. Help them to keep their eyes focused on you. David, Ellie, Isaac, Micah, Izzy, and their partners, and little Benjamin. Bless, O Lord, your servants. And we pray, Jesus, in your name. Amen.
I seem to always be carrying things around this church. don't know why. Now, I know we've got at least one child, and I'm not speaking about all of those of you who are children at heart, but and any other children that I've not seen. Yeah, no. Just you and me. Do you want to sit down or you can... Yeah. Okay. I'm going to draw a line down the middle of this because I'm in charge, all right? Okay. There we go. That's important, that line, because it divides this from that. Now, it's been school holidays. What are the things you've been really thankful for in the school holidays? What have been the things that you reckon God's done a good job providing them for you? Circus. Whoa. And what was the best bit of the circus? You're gonna get that all for yourself.
The last bit where the motorbikes all went in a cage.
Okay. That sounds exciting. So, circus? What else?
Yesterday when I went to the theatre to see Finding Nemo.
You went to see Finding Nemo at the theatre?
It was a musical.
It was a musical. What do fish costumes look like?
Well, it was just a person with a fish on their head.
Okay. That'd be a bit slimy, wouldn't it?
A fish costume.
Okay. Finding Nemo. All right? Or should we just say theatre? What do you reckon? Theatre or
Theatre's
Finding Nemo?
It's shorter, so maybe theatre.
Okay, theatre? Yep. Okay. Anything else?
Vacation care.
You like vacation care? What did you do at vacation care? Did you go roller skating or anything?
Well, tomorrow I'm going to be... It's going to be a wheels Monday, so we're going to bring up wheel things, so...
Okay.
On Friday there was a Mario thing.
A Mario? So were you racing like Super Mario does? Is that what it was?
No, there were different Mario activities and at the end there was a treasure hunt.
Treasure hunt for Mario. Okay, so vacation care. Can I call that vac care? Is that all right?
Yes.
Good.
And then also on the Mario day there was bowling and we only got one turn instead of two turns and I got three times where all of them went down.
Good. Three strikes and you're out, isn't it? Oh no, that's baseball, not bowling. That's right. Okay. Now, this line. Remember this very important line?
Yes.
We're gonna cross that line now. And this next week you go back to school. What are some of the things you're thankful about for school?
That sometimes we get free activity at the end of the
free
day.
Activities. Okay. All right. Anything else? Can I make a suggestion? I reckon this one might be in the list somewhere. Because it's what I most liked about school. Can you read that?
Friends.
Friends, yeah. Are you thankful for your friends?
Yes.
I thought you might be. Anything else?
Recess and lunch.
And so, tell me, with recess and lunch, is it the food or the chance to play with your friends that's more important?
Friends.
Okay. I've got to say, when I was a young lad, the food was pretty important. Okay, any others?
Rest and read.
Rest and read. Is
it's
that
after lunch.
It's after lunch, so it's a quiet time after lunch. And what's your favourite book at the moment? You don't have to tell us.
One of the school's favourites, and it's one of mine, The Emperor Who Hated Yellow.
What?
The emperor who hated yellow.
The emperor who hated yellow. Okay. I'm not quite sure I've met that emperor. And I'm not sure I ever will. But it sounds a fun book. Is it a fun book?
Yes.
Good. Okay. These are the things that have been in your life and are going to be in your life. And one of the important things we should do is thank God for everything. In all things, give thanks. Okay? So we're going to have a prayer where we're going to thank God for the things of the holidays, but also the things of going back to school. Okay, so would you all pray with me? Loving Father, we thank you for holidays. With all the things that come with holidays, with circuses and trips to the theatre. We thank you for vacation care and particularly for the Mario stuff. Father, we thank you for all the things of holidays and the way that they're special and different and are a real blessing. But Lord, we thank you for the ordinary stuff that we do every day. We thank you for the everyday things of school, for some of the special things like free activities and read and rest times. We thank you for the ordinary of the everyday cycle of recess and lunch, where we not only get to eat, but we get to spend time with our friends. And we thank you also for those friends, for the people who share our journey, for the people who we get to grow with and to laugh with and to play with. Loving God, we thank you for holidays and for school. Amen. Thank you. Shall I take that?
We're going to bring our offerings to the Lord now. And as I've said before, part of the offering is the offering of ourselves. So let's stand and sing. If you're able to stand, please do.
Come before the Lord and sing. Praise our name.
praise you and thank you that you are absolutely Lord and God of everything. And we bring to you, Lord, our offerings at this moment that Sue has brought down. Every part of our life and our offering here at the Vines, Lord, help us to be wise stewards. Help us to be a giving people. Help us to be a people who offer ourselves to you in whatever service we are able to give to you. And for all these things, Lord God, we give you praise and thanks. Amen. Please take your seats.
Good morning, church. Please join me in our prayers for others. Loving Heavenly Father, we rejoice in the depths of your love for us, for your forgiveness and grace, and we pray that you will guide us as we pray for others. Lord, we continue to pray for those for our world, torn apart by divisions and strife. Our hearts ache to see the images of cruelty seen on the screens, revealing endless heartache for thousands of people. Gracious God, we pray for all persons suffering from war. May they be held in your loving care and protection and given the strength to endure great suffering and hardship. We pray for wisdom for the United Nations as decisions are made. We pray for an infilling of your Holy Spirit's guidance as plans are made. And we pray that hearts will be transformed and minds for all those who perpetuate violence or oppression. Lead all those in authority worldwide back into the ways of peace, to heal what is damaged and to unite what has been torn apart. We pray for shelter, comfort, peace, and hope for the future. And Lord, we pray for our nation. We pray for all Australians, that we may find a way forward that will bring hope, peace, and understanding for our future. That we work together to uphold our Christian values for all who call Australia home. And Lord, we pray for our church, the Vines, for the leaders and the congregation. We pray for your continued guidance with the ministries we offer, that we may be a blessing to those who attend. And Lord, we pray also for those who have been unable to attend worship due to health concerns. And we remember those who may need a touch of your love today as we silently pray for others. And Lord, we continue to pray for David Pryor. We're thankful for the blessings that we've heard of today and pray that his continued wellness will bring joy and peace for them. And I pray that his prayer that he will be home for Christmas can be a part of their celebration. But bless them all. In Jesus' name we pray. Please pray with me for the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. Makes me lie down in green pastures. The Lord leads me. guides me in paths of righteousness. He guides me for His name's sake. And even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for Your Lord are with me. Your rod and Your staff comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Anoint my head with oil. You prepare a table. You anoint my head, and my cup overflows. My cup overflows. My cup overflows with Your love. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in Your house. I will dwell in Your house. I will dwell in Your house, O Lord, forever. Surely goodness and love will follow us. Follow us all the days of our lives. Surely goodness and love will follow us all the days of our lives. And we will dwell in Your house. We will dwell in Your house. We will dwell in
Good morning. Our reading this morning is from Philippians chapter 4, verses 1 to 9. Dear friends, I love you and long to see you. Please keep on being faithful to the Lord. You are my pride and joy. Euodia and Syntyche, you belong to the Lord. So I beg you to stop arguing with each other. And my true partner, I ask you to help them. These women have worked together with me and with Clement and with the others in spreading the good news. Their names are now written in the book of life. Always be glad because of the Lord. I will say it again. Be glad. Always be gentle with others. The Lord will soon be here. Don't worry about anything, but pray about everything. With thankful hearts, offer up your prayers and requests to God. Then, because you belong to Christ Jesus, God will bless you with peace that no one can completely understand. And this peace will control the way you think and feel. Finally, my friends, Keep your minds on whatever is true, pure, right, holy, friendly, and proper. Don't ever stop thinking about what is truly worthwhile and worthy of praise. You know the teachings I gave you, and you know what you heard me say and saw me do. So follow my example, and God, who gives peace, will be with you. This is the word of the Lord.
I'm going to have to do this again. They told me last week that there was a music stand over there that I could use, but of course we've now got one more singer, and so that means one more music stand's needed. So I'll just have to use this again, I hope. That was made for before we printed on paper from our computers. There we go. First of all, I want to start with speaking briefly about the referendum. Regardless of the outcome of the referendum, one thing was going to be clear today. Australia would need healing, because there were things said from both sides that were despicable. Frankly, I don't think Australia has shown itself to be full of glory in this process. For those who suggested that those who were against it were racist, were shallow and hurtful, and for those who suggested that those who were for it were for some sort of takeover by the Aboriginal people, were equally terrible. And there was a lot more than that. Death threats. I just can't believe that in Australia we genuinely had people who were threatened with death because of their political views. That is a low point. I think the last time we came close to a assassination attempt was probably Arthur Caldwell, wasn't it? Whenever that was. You know? A long time ago, isn't it? So I think that Australia needs to, first of all, be heavy of heart this morning. Not for the result, but for the way we conducted ourselves. And I'm going to suggest that we start with just a short prayer of confession. Lord, as a nation, we failed you, and we failed ourselves. We did not hold each other up as we discussed an important issue, but rather we tore each other down. We did not really care about the future of Aboriginal people as much as scoring points. Father, we pray for our whole nation that there would be reconciliation and restoration. We pray for our Aboriginal brothers and sisters. And Lord, we know that with them there was never any relationship to break properly. There was never a proper relationship that could be broken. But rather that we need to establish just and loving and caring relationships with them. Father, we pray that as a nation we would take pause at where we have come and that we would commit to working for right relationship with all people. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I don't know about you, but I reckon if I was in prison, I'd struggle to know what to do. I think I'd be pretty scared. I don't know about you. But, I mean, I have been in prison. But I was going in to help people. So it was, you know, it wasn't quite the same as being an inmate, was it? But I do know from my relationships with prisoners that they spend a lot of time being anxious. They're afraid to reveal their true selves to other people in prison. Because you never let somebody else get a chance to get one up on you. And so people in prison tend to be in very lonely places. Going into prison with Kairos Prison Ministries was fantastic because we had a self-selected group of men who wanted to change things. Made it very easy because they knew that they needed to change things. But there's an awful lot of people in prison who were just so trapped that they didn't know what to do. I did encourage you in the grapevine and put a link there for Martin Luther King's letter from a Birmingham jail. I don't know if any of you pulled it up and had a look at it, but, and this is a reasonably small typeface, this is only 12 point, so it's not a huge typeface. It's 9 pages. 9 pages. Now, I don't know about you, but I reckon I'd get cramped writing 9 pages these days. I used to be able to do it when I was young. But these days, writing those amounts would be difficult. And also, if you read it, he quoted extensively from quite a few theologians, Niebuhr, Tillich, among others. Most of them were from writings within the last 20 years before he was imprisoned. These are post-war theologians to a greater degree. I'm not saying they didn't write before, but most of the writings he quotes are post-war. So he was well read. But he wrote this letter from his memory and his intellect and his spirituality. Why did he write this letter? He wrote it because they had been conducting rallies in Birmingham. He was jailed, I think, because they didn't have the proper permits to have a protest. I believe that was the reason, although nobody ever actually says. I think it was so obvious back then that nobody bothered to say. Okay. But he, in this 9 pages, or it's actually 8.5 if I want to be honest, okay, in this 8.5 pages, he talks about the power of love. And he talks and says to the leaders of the white church who are saying, you shouldn't have come in from outside, and he has a section where he argues why he should have, that, you know, that we need to be patient bringing about change. Well, I think we, as Australians, we could perhaps reflect on that at a minute, couldn't we? But he also said that for the people who are oppressed, they don't have the luxury of being patient about change. Their need is immediate and deep. And that their lives are incredibly dislocated because they haven't had that chance to be regarded well. Now, Birmingham was in Alabama, in the south of the US, and by the 60s, there was still incredible segregation there. These people were crying out. And Martin Luther King Jr. actually was responding to that cry. He claimed, well, he was an African American by origin himself, but he was saying that these are our brothers and sisters and we should be with them. He called the leaders of the church away from what he calls complacent love into passionate love. Okay? Way from complacent love to passionate love. That's Martin Luther King Jr. talking about the need for passionate love. In Australia, and somebody said this last night, I was at a home group meeting last night, and somebody at this home group meeting said that, you know, no matter whether you count this referendum as a win or a loss for the nation, it is certainly a great opportunity for the church. And they were right. Why? Because it's time for us to hear what Paul is saying in Philippians. He talks about passionate and powerful love. And for Euodia and Syntyche, he talks about them being passionate for the gospel. He talks at great length to the people in Philippians, you know, whatever is good, whatever is honourable, whatever is a good report, and all the other bits. You know, think on these things. He talks about the power of passionate love. You getting a theme here after last week? If you're not, wake up. Okay? He's talking about acts of passionate love. Euodia and Syntyche are both people who have been those givers of passionate love. And even though they're arguing at the moment, he's going, no, remember their names are in the book of life. They've done good stuff. They may be having a bit of a trouble at the minute, but they've done good stuff. He was calling the church at Philippi to passionate love, as he does all through the book. And for us, it's time for us to think about what are the things that bring passionate love. Since we had a referendum about what should happen with Aboriginal people, I'm going to do a straw poll. I'm going to be interested in the result. How many of you would count an Aboriginal person as a friend? Now, I've got acquaintances and I've got family members, but how many would... It's about 3, 4, 5, something like that. Yeah, a few more. It's around that sort of number, which is a good representation since Australian folk make up about 3% of the Australian population. 3.2, I think, depending how you count the numbers. I don't quite know how to figure it because I've got family members. So am I their friend or am I their uncle? You know, go figure. Is it my brother-in-law? Well, my brother-in-law's dead now, so I guess he's not my brother. Is my brother-in-law my brother-in-law when he's dead? I've never thought about that. Okay. Anyway, my brother-in-law was part Aboriginal. He was a quarter Aboriginal. Well, his mum's mother was a full blood. His grandma was a full blood. Wherever that puts him, I don't know. Okay. At this time in Australia, I believe we need to move on. We need to move towards passionate love with Aboriginal people. I do not believe reconciliation is possible with Aboriginal people. That sounds politically incorrect, doesn't it? But do you know why? Because reconciliation implies that at one time there was a proper or good relationship. And I don't think we can say that on a national sense that has ever been the case. Now, I'm not saying that it hasn't been the case for some individuals or small groups. Okay? That's a group of people, you know, and there are lots of groups of people who have had good relationships with Aboriginal folk. But overall, as a nation, we have never had a good, proper relationship with Aboriginal folk. Time for us to build that. And as a church, as people who are reconciled together under the forgiving love of God, whose, as it were, the basis of our relationship is that our relationships are united in that we are both dependent upon Christ for our salvation. Because it's when that is the case that we see people, no matter their skin colour, as those who have a common heritage with us. It's time for us to start building a new type of relationship with not only Aboriginal folk, but with all of the people who have come into this nation. I was privileged to go into Inverbracky and to lead worship there and to lead Bible studies there. When it was a detention centre, I mean, not when it was a housing for the military. But I went in to that place, and the stories I heard would break your heart. There was a young couple, lovely young couple, who wanted to get married. They were Christians, and so they didn't want to sneak off into a bedroom where people might have thoughts about what they were doing, which were not about preparing for their wedding. So they went and met in the park. Seems reasonable, doesn't it? Except that for the local mullah, for her fiancé to be with her, he was not an appropriate person under their custom. And so he was beaten and ended up in hospital. And he was threatened that if he went anywhere near her again, he would be killed. And yet, they are the most delightful young couple. Well, I call them young. Anyone under 50 is young. And they are here now in Australia. And they have started a family. Or, there was a Muslim man who was married to a Christian woman, obviously. She used to get shunned and, you know, nudged and hit and generally dealt with badly in the market. And he took his wife across the border and then came to Australia. They were in Iran, so he took across the border into Afghanistan, out of the frying pan into the fire, but for him it was a way out. And to sit and hear that man and his pain. Paul's talking about love in Philippians and how we break out and how we give love to others. This morning, my call is for us to do that with all people. All those who come to Australia seeking a new beginning. What do we have to give them? We have the love that comes from having a relationship with God. To share with them as our brothers and sisters in Christ. We may be separated by skin colour or heritage, but Australia, and particularly South Australia, has a long history of being newcomers. I grew up in the post-war period. That should be fairly obvious. Okay, but the kids at my primary school, we had lots of Balts. Or Bolts, depending on where you put the emphasis. Lots of Latvians and Lithuanians and Estonians, who of course fled when they were engulfed by Russia. There were Spics and Wogs. And later on, there were Vietnamese and Africans. My next door neighbour is a pain specialist. He used to have a practice on Port Road. And he said, when somebody of African descent came into his office on Port Road, his assumption was that they had been tortured. And that's why there was chronic pain. We have all these people who come into our nation hurting. And they need for us to be the ones who reach out. For the early church, the thing that was different that they did was that they would bury those that nobody else would. It touched people at their point of need. My wife went to Kenya, to Nairobi, to work in the slums of Nairobi back in June. Yeah, June. Okay. And she said that in those slums, that it was the Christians who brought hope to those who had none. And so there were lots of people who looked to the church and the faith for a way through that horrible experience. But they embraced what was being offered to them by Christians because they knew that Christians really loved them. So what am I asking you to do? This is really simple. We should be those who first try and make relationships with others, with some of the people who are different. And you start by chatting. And you'll make mistakes. We had two young Vietnamese guys who were putting up a solar system at our place some years ago now. And it was morning tea time, so I took them all out of coffee. And, you know, these two young Vietnamese guys were there, and I said to them, oh, so do you guys, what do you guys do? Oh, we play footy. And I, of course, thinking I knew everything, said, oh, so what, are you an inside forward or, you know, something? And thinking that they were playing soccer. And one of them said, oh, no, I'm a rover and my brother, he's a half-back flanker. Got that wrong. But I was reaching out to them and saying that they mattered. With Iranian and Afghani refugees, there is huge opportunity. From my time at Inverbrachy, I knew that there were many people who would want to talk because they wanted different answers than they were getting from their Muslim leaders. And I would say that with various groups today, particularly those out of Africa, who we do see in our churches quite a bit, that there is a huge opportunity. Australia is a refugee country now, a migrant country anyway, even if we're not a refugee country. We're a migrant country. We have all these people who come here. And you know, you look around and you go, oh, we're all grey hairs now. Sorry. Not all of us, but most of us are grey hairs. What do we have to offer? We're grandparents. Or we want to be. For families who have no one, we can be that set of older people who bring a different love, a love which accepts them, a love which represents the love of Christ and which accepts them as people who have things of great value to bring to our society. That is something that is not far from where you are. It's something that you already have the core skills to do, to love little children and to look after their parents as well. If you went to the Refugee Association and said, look, we want to support a family, you know, we want to create links with a family, there would be opportunity to do that. If you're prepared to teach them English as well, I think you are wonderful. It's time for us to break down the walls. I did think about bringing a sledgehammer. But it is metaphorical after. But I thought that, you know, it'd be a really good prop. You know, I didn't. Because I actually, my sledgehammer's pretty dirty at the moment. I didn't want to get the carpet dirty. Okay. You can love. You know how to do it. You can reach out to other people. I bet you do it all the time. In our society, we need to be those who love the people who other people aren't loving, so that the hope of the love of Christ can come into their lives. Let me remind you of what Paul says and think about what that means. Now that I get the right bit. Here we go. Finally, my friends, keep your minds on whatever is true, pure, right, holy, friendly, and proper. Don't ever stop thinking about what is truly worthwhile and worthy of praise. Paul in prison, who is constrained, calls on the church to act for the best and to act for love. For us, let us also be those who love with the compassion of Christ. Amen.
Just a reminder, there's always opportunities for prayer after our services, so if you're in need of prayer for whatever reason, track somebody down who will pray with you. Ken, can you start us at verse 4, please? May the seeds of mercy. May the seeds of mercy. I'm going to shorten the song. That's the one.
May the seeds of mercy grow, yes, for those who have not. Is the Lamb.
Just a short thing. If you're wanting to think further about your relationship with our Aboriginal brothers and sisters, I would commend to you the website Australians Together. They do a lot of stuff for schools, but if you go into their drop-down menus, you'll find on one of them church resources, and there's a series of studies there on reconciliation, well, not on reconciliation, because they actually would say it's not possible that we need to build a new relationship. But there's four videos there which you might find really helpful to think about where that might go. Okay. Also a reminder that at the conclusion of this service that there will be a short meeting to talk about what's happening at Christmas. So we would encourage you to stay and hear that. But now, why do you imagine that God won't be with you this week? Look how much He loved you. Think about how much He cared. Think about the fact that Jesus came that we might know how precious we are to the Father, that we belong, and that we are restored because He died on the cross. So go from this place knowing that the God who went to all that trouble to love you, He's not going to stop. So go from this place confident that God's love surrounds you. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.